I'm Maryland Morning producer Matt Purdy, and this is a special podcast we've put together with all of our interviews with candidates vying for the Democratic nomination for Maryland Attorney General. Each is about 12 minutes long. They're in alphabetical order, and we begin with Aisha Braveboy.
This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Maryland's primary election is 6 weeks from tomorrow, June 24th. This week, we're talking to the three Democrats running for their party's nomination for Attorney General. One of them could succeed the incumbent Doug Gansler, who's running for governor. One of the candidates is Delegate Aisha Braveboy, a Democrat from Prince George's County. She was elected to represent the 25th Legislative District in Central Prince George's 8 years ago. She chairs the Legislative Black Caucus of Maryland, is a member of the Women's Caucus, and is a real estate attorney with a law office in Bowie. She joins me on the line from her campaign headquarters in Capitol Heights. Delegate Braveboy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Why are you running for Attorney General?
I am running to deliver justice and fairness to the people of this great state of Maryland. And I believe I'm the best candidate to do it. I've had a history of being able to address critical issues that are impacting all Marylanders and have been able to successfully defend the rights of Marylanders in this state. And I've done it as a lawyer, I've done it as a legislator, and now I want to do it as Attorney General.
What do you think is the most important aspect for listeners to know about the office of Attorney General?
The office of the Attorney General is the top law enforcement office in the state. The Attorney General is the people's attorney, answerable not to other politicians, not to big corporations, but that office answers to the people of this state. And the office obviously is extremely important in dealing with issues of justice, of fairness, of equity, of consumer protection. It's a critical office in our state.
And what separates you from the other Democratic candidates, Delegate John Cardin, Senator Brian Frosch?
Well, we're all legislators, so we all have that in common. But what separates me is that I've actually executed programs that address the issues, the critical issues facing our state. And let me give you a couple of examples. You know, we all support, you know, legislation and have co-sponsored legislation dealing with the foreclosure crisis in our state. But I'm the only candidate that stepped up to the plate when former Chief Judge Bell asked the attorneys around this state to assist families facing foreclosure. I was trained as a pro bono attorney. I've assisted numerous families who wanted to keep their home, and I've been able to help them keep their home. And in addition to that, I've held numerous workshops and brought together other attorneys from around the state who wanted to assist homeowners. So I've actually done something about these issues instead of just relying on my legislative record. In addition to that, we all know that we have a juvenile justice system that needs to be reformed. For the past 8 years, I've been pro bono counsel to a large diversionary program that has successfully diverted over 2,000 young people out of the criminal justice system and back into our schools. You know, the Attorney General can't just solely and simply rely on being a good legislator in order to perform this job. This job is about execution. It's about having ideas and a true commitment to reforming the way in which our criminal justice system works in this state, the way in which people are treated by big business and corporations. And I've made a commitment personally to address those issues, and that's why I'm the best candidate.
Let me follow up on that. Criminal justice. Why do you think diversion programs could make such a? It's a big part of your criminal justice platform. Why do you think it could make such a big difference?
It makes a big difference because if our young people end up with a juvenile record or are incarcerated at any point in their young lives, they're more likely to end up back in the criminal justice system as an adult. And so that's what's leading to this issue of mass incarceration that's going on in our state. there are issues that are going on in the lives of these young people that are influencing their behavior, that if we're able to correct at an early age, we're able to assist them in making better decisions in the future and staying out of the criminal justice system. You know, as I've talked to these young people who have made bad choices, many of them have drug dependencies. Some of them have undiagnosed mental health issues. They're struggling with their families. Or they're bowing to peer pressure. There are a lot of issues that are going on in these young people's lives. And so what we do is not only do we provide a diversionary mechanism for that, for their cases to be diverted from the court system, but we also provide mentoring, tutoring, mental health services, as well as tutoring services, to assist these young people to achieve their goals, to feel better about themselves, and empower them to make better decisions. And we also assist the parents as well. You know, the parents are up against a lot these days, you know, especially with social media and all of the influences that are impacting their children. And so we're able to provide the parents with tools. We let them know what the influences are out there in our communities that are potentially impacting their children, so that they have a fair chance to assist their children in making good decisions. And so that's why this program has been so successful. We have an 85% success rate because we actually take the time to really find out how we can truly impact the lives of these young people. And that's why diversionary programs are so important. That's why we need to devote more time and resources to them, because it costs very little in the grand scheme of things to help divert someone out the criminal justice system. Once they get in the system, we're spending $30,000, $40,000 a year to house and clothe and feed them. And that certainly is not a good use of taxpayers' money.
That's State Delegate Aisha Braveboy here on Maryland Morning, WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass. She's running in the June 24th primary for the Democratic nomination for Attorney General. I want to also get back to the foreclosure and real estate related issues that you're campaigning on, especially since you practice real estate law. Protecting home values is one of your campaign issues. How would you do that as Attorney General?
Well, one of the unfortunate things that are going on now is that the banks are typically at the foreclosure sales buying the properties back. But when they buy those properties back, so the homes that our families are losing at foreclosure, the banks are not maintaining the property like we expect every other homeowner in our state to do. They're not mowing the lawns. They're not keeping the property free from debris and trash. They're allowing the roofs to continue to leak. They're not fixing broken windows in many of our communities. And so what's happening is that these homes that the banks own become the worst homes in the neighborhood. And when they're sold, especially in low to moderate income communities, they're sold to investors.
And what would you do as Attorney General?
Well, what I would do as Attorney General is I would immediately put together a commission to investigate the treatment of bank-owned properties in our state and determine whether or not there's discrimination, which in many cases there are going on in our state, and file a fair housing complaint against those banks that are not treating our residents, our state, our taxpayers, our homeowners in this state fairly. Because when the value of a home goes down, one home goes down, it affects every other home in that zip code. And it's an artificial deterioration of wealth in our communities that is directly related to the way that the banks are managing the properties that they own. It's a huge economic injustice and one that must be addressed by the next Attorney General.
In the legislature, you have advocated for better funding for Maryland's HBCUs, historically black colleges and universities. As Attorney General, how would you handle this?
we have historically, and the state has commissioned numerous reports that document this, the state has historically underfunded HBCUs. Obviously, it has duplicated programs that were at the HBCUs. And so it's put the HBCUs at a competitive disadvantage. As Attorney General, I would counsel the next governor and the Maryland Higher Education Commission to develop a plan to achieve parity for historically Black colleges and universities. All of our institutions in our state should and deserve to be treated fairly. Every student that attends a state school should know that their school is not being treated any differently than any other school in our system.
Delegate Brayboy, we're almost out of time. And I do want to ask you about death row. Maryland has abolished the death penalty going forward. There are still several inmates on death row. What should be done with their cases?
I think their sentences should be commuted.
The Washington Post editorial board last week endorsed in this way, did not endorse you, painted a mixed picture, called you an adroit lawmaker who has pushed legislation to help the disadvantaged and keep wayward children in school. She has good ideas about expanding protections for neighborhoods harmed by foreclosures and empowering parents seeking better schools. They also said, compared to recent attorneys general, your achievements in public office are scant. Very briefly, how would you respond to the Washington Post editorial board?
I think that, they can have their opinion, but if you really look at what I've not only been able to do as a legislator, because remember, the Attorney General is not the top legislator, it's the top lawyer. And so what I've been able to do as a lawyer, assisting families, assisting young people, making sure that we are fighting this issue of mass incarceration, none of my opponents have done that. And so I think you can't just simply look at a legislative record and decide who is the most appropriate attorney general. You've got to look to find that individual who can actually execute and deliver justice. I've been able to do it. My opponents haven't.
I appreciate your talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Delegate Aisha Brayboy is one of three Democrats running for their party's nomination for Attorney General. We'll speak with the others later this week. In the general election in the fall, the winner will face Republican Jeffrey Pritzker, a Towson lawyer. He has no primary opposition. The three Democrats will debate one another next Monday, May 19th, at the University of Maryland College Park. We have more information on our website, wypr.org. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay with us on 88.1.
You're listening to a special podcast we've put together with all of Maryland Morning's interviews with the Democratic candidates for Maryland Attorney General. We continue with John Cardin.
This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Maryland's primary election is June 24th, 6 weeks from now. We've been talking to the major Democratic and Republican candidates for governor and the Democratic candidates for attorney general. Yesterday, we heard from Delegate Aisha Brayboy, and today we'll speak with Delegate John Cardin, a Democrat who represents Northwest Baltimore County's 11th District. He was elected to the legislature in 2002 and serves on the Ways and Means Committee. He has a law office in Baltimore and represents clients in civil and criminal courts. And Delegate Cardin joins me in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Sheila. It's great to be here.
Why are you running for Attorney General?
You know, Marylanders need to make sure that they are safe, protected, and being treated fairly. I've spent my legal career and my legislative career trying to solve people's problems, make them whole. And there's no greater place to do that than the Office of the Attorney General, which is required to make sure that people's civil rights are being attended to, that people are being treated fairly, safely, they're protected, they're safe, their environment's safe. And I would be honored to be able to be the state's lawyer.
What is the most important thing for listeners to know about the Office of Attorney General?
I would think that the most important thing is that we live in a rapidly changing world, and the issues and the pressures and the problems that we're facing now were things that we never dreamed of 30 years ago. So while we still have those typical consumer protection issues like lead-laced toys coming in from China that your children might be chewing on or onerous utility bills, we also have websites that are stealing credit card information or phishing for Social Security numbers. And we have one of the biggest issues that we have is online privacy and online hacking. These are issues that the Attorney General is going to continue to spend tremendous amount of time and energy dealing with. It's a next generation world, and our children don't understand the issues of privacy, the issues of protection that you or I grew up with.
Some of those are issues people would think the federal government is watching out for me in this area.
The Attorney General of the state of Maryland is required to make sure that laws are being enforced, that regulations are being enforced, and that people are protected and safe and being treated fairly, being treated equally. So if there is a civil rights violation because of racial profiling, if there's a civil rights violation because people's are not able to get to the polling place because of voter ID schemes or because they have been disenfranchised in some way, that's an issue for the Attorney General to have to deal with. As the chairman of the Election Law Subcommittee, I've spent the last 8 years dealing with civil rights violations by trying to reduce the ability for minorities, for example, to be able to get out and vote. And these are the kinds of things that the Attorney General absolutely has to make sure is enforced.
You are campaigning on a lot of issues. I think I counted 31 highlighted on your website. If you were elected Attorney General, what would be your priority?
Let me try and give you my priority in 30 seconds. Public safety, consumer protection, environmental protection, and civil rights. Consumer protection meaning not just buying a safe new car, but also dealing with websites trying to steal your information or prey on your children or your parents. Environmental protection, not only do we want to make sure that our bay is safe to be able to use as the largest recreational and industrial and business tributary in the entire Western Hemisphere, but also the air that we breathe. We not only have to think about getting trash out of the bay, but we also have to think about reduction of carbon emissions and their impact on climate change. Public safety, our children deserve to know, we deserve to know that our children are going to come home safe at the end of the day. We have to make sure that happens. And civil rights, you know, if a prosecutor or a police commissioner brings me a case that is tainted with racial profiling, I'll tell them we won't take the case on appeal, because people deserve to be treated with fairness and with equality.
So let me pick up on just one of those, public safety. Give me an example of what you would do that isn't being done now.
Sure. So let me talk about some of my vision for the future. We just passed legislation this year that criminalizes putting somebody's naked image on the internet without their permission, called revenge porn, cyber sexual harassment, whatever you want to call it. And the fact of the matter is that you can destroy somebody's life by the click of a mouse. You can actually, because everybody knows that once that 16-year-old puts an image up, it's never coming down, and it can destroy reputations, family relationships, job prospects, security clearance, all these things can happen. So number one, the Attorney General can work and tell his assistant AGs, whether it be in with the superintendent of state police, whether it be in Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, tell his assistant AGs that we will enforce regulations that make sure that people are protected online. But number two is we can use the office, we can use the fact that we have 50,000 contractors here, the largest number of people in the entire country dealing with cyber crimes and cybersecurity. At Fort Meade, happen to have NSA here as well, to deal with the balance between the privacy issues and the public safety issues. And that's where the Attorney General's office can make a huge step in progress. And we see it right now that the AG is spending a tremendous amount of time and energy, this AG, Doug Gansler, and on cybercrimes, has a partnership that he just started with Facebook. It can't stop there. We have to continue to push forward, because the new frontier for issues are what our 17, 18, our 11 and 12-year-olds and 17, 18-year-olds are doing, and what they're going to provide us in terms of technological advancements.
It's Delegate John Cardin here on Maryland Morning 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Delegate Cardin is running in the June 24th primary for the Democratic nomination for Attorney General. What separates you, would you say, from your opponents, Senator Brian Frosch and Delegate Aisha Brayboy?
I have tremendous respect from both my opponents. They're both good lawyers. They're excellent legislators. I am not afraid to go up against the good old boys. I have spent I have sued school systems when children are being harassed or tormented, or the administration's turning a blind eye. I have gone after energy companies when they're trying to install explosive gas pipelines under people's houses. And believe me, the pressure I have faced when I have dealt with those things is tremendous, and I'm not afraid to. And then I get beat up a little bit because of that. But that's what makes a good independent attorney general. I was tremendously influenced and attempted to change my opinion when the speed camera legislation came up a few years ago. And my opinion was, we do want to have people slow down when they get near bicyclists or near school children or near construction sites. Of course, we want to keep the roads safe. We also have to make sure that people have confidence in government. And if we create legislation that gets people to think that we're just doing this for money grabs, then we have a problem. And I stood up and said, this is not right. If we're going to do it, let's do it in a reformed way that makes sure that people feel as if this is to make our streets safer.
I want to talk about family. Your website notes, quote, Delegate Cardin sits in the seat formerly occupied by his uncle, Senator Ben Cardin, great uncle, Delegate Maurice Cardin, and grandfather, the Honorable Judge Meyer Cardin, close quote. What would you say you've learned from this family tradition of public service?
Well, I will say that it is wonderful to be able to sit at a Friday night dinner table where my family gets together every Friday night for the Sabbath and be able to talk about the policies, public policies, and ways to actually improve our little corner of the world, which is the greatest place in the whole world, the state of Maryland. And I always believe that. And that's what I grew up believing. But it is true that having a very well-known but also incredibly exemplary name is an interesting challenge to have and to grow up with. But the fact of the matter is that my uncle, my grandfather, they've been wonderful advisors to me. And they have always given me great and interesting perspectives. But this is my campaign where I believe I'm taking that interest and that devotion to public service and trying to carve out a vision for the future of Maryland.
So what do you say then to people who, including, you know, editorial writers,
sure,
WIPR's Fraser Smith, who basically say you're running on the family name and not much else?
Yeah. Look, I'm very proud of the family name, and I think that that my uncle, in his 50 years of public service, has done a stupendous job for the state of Maryland, citizens of the state of Maryland. 3 months ago, the Baltimore Sun and the Washington Post put out a poll, and I was ahead in the polls, and I was humbled and proud of that. And certainly the name recognition didn't hurt in that respect. But for the last 3.5 months, I have been out campaigning. I've hit every jurisdiction in the state of Maryland and spoken to the people of the state of Maryland. And my poll numbers have only improved, which says that my message is resonating, the message of child safety, providing adequate protections and adequate fairness for our families, for our seniors, for the women in a world. We're not going to agree on everything, but let me just say this.
We're running out of time, and there's two other things I need to ask you about.
Okay,
and one is, you know, the news story that you missed 3/4 of the Ways and Means Committee votes. You've said that there were times that you needed to be with your pregnant wife and daughter. What would you say to those who say that family duties would get in the way of your duties as Attorney General?
I think this race is also about management style and character. When you look at the facts, I took approximately 2,700 votes during the 2014 legislative session, and we're talking about missing 119 of them. Look, I regret not being able to do it. I regret not being able to do everything. But I made sure that whether it was floor votes, committee votes, subcommittee votes, concurrence calendar votes, rules votes, amendment votes, I was there for the vast, vast majority of all those votes. And the fact is that I made sure that my committee was taken care of and that all of my amendments were in and that I counted the votes and talked to my chairman to make sure that everything was cool. And then I left to handle the health and well-being of my family. That's my management style. I'm going to make sure I get the job done, and then I move on and do the next thing.
Last question, very briefly, the death penalty. You supported abolishing it, which Maryland has done, but there are still 4 people on death row. What should be done with their sentences?
Look, if we've decided as a policy decision that we are no longer going to have the death penalty, then we should look at ways to deal with this, both for fiscal reasons and for moral reasons. And I think that I would work with the administration to figure out the best way to change the sentence in a legal and constitutional manner. And it's something that we can work on and I hope to be able to do that as the next Attorney General.
Delegate Cardin, thank you.
Thank you very much, Sheila.
Delegate John Cardin is one of three Democrats running for their party's nomination for Attorney General. We heard from Delegate Aisha Braveboy yesterday. State Senator Brian Frosch will join us on Friday. In the general election in the fall, the winner will face Republican Jeffrey Pritzker, a corporate lawyer in Towson. He has no primary opposition. We've got more information about the candidates on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us on 88.1.
You're listening to a special podcast we've put together with all of our interviews with the Democratic candidates for Maryland Attorney General. We continue with Brian Frosch.
Thanks, Nathan. This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. As Nathan mentioned, Maryland's primary election is coming up. It's 5.5 weeks away, June 24th. All this week, we're talking to Democrats running for their party's nomination for Attorney General. One of them could succeed the incumbent, Doug Gansler, who's running for governor. This morning, we'll hear from State Senator Brian Frosch, who represents District 16, the Bethesda area of Montgomery County. He was elected to the General Assembly 28 years ago, and since 2003, he has chaired the Senate Judicial Proceedings Committee. He's a partner in a law practice in Bethesda, specializing in personal injury and business litigation. Senator Frosch, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Sheila.
Sure. I wish you were here with us. You could shake hands with all the volunteers who are here for our pledge drive. But on such a rainy morning, we give you a pass. So tell me, why are you running for Attorney General?
You know, I've spent my career in the General Assembly improving the lives of Marylanders, trying to make Marylanders safe, protecting our environment, protecting consumers. And I believe I can make an even greater difference on those issues as Attorney General. It's an incredibly important job. I will, as Attorney General, implement and enforce many laws that I've written since I've been in the General Assembly.
Well, you mentioned the office, and let me just take a minute to ask you about that, because I'm not sure how much most of us actually are aware of what the Attorney General does. What's the most important thing our listeners should know about the Office of Attorney General, what the Attorney General does, in your view?
In very simple terms, the Attorney General is the people's lawyer. That's why I'm running for the job. The Attorney General, the office, represents every state agency, board, task force, and commission. It defends the state when it gets sued and brings suit on behalf of the people of the state of Maryland and on behalf of the state itself.
So it's mostly a job that works through the courts?
Well, it works through the courts, but the Attorney General also counsels every state agency, helps write regulations, and helps state agencies implement the laws that the General Assembly passes. Also enforces them. That's in the courts.
On your website, you wrote that your, quote, number one priority as Attorney General will be to keep Marylanders safe, close quote. How would you do that?
Well, in my career in the General Assembly, I have led the fight to pass the landmark legislation on gun safety. I've increased protections for victims of domestic violence and championed laws to prevent and prosecute child abuse, protect children from sexual abuse, authored legislation to expand supervision of sex predators, and led the fight to help prosecutors bring to justice criminals who use firearms and crimes of violence, and many other laws. As Attorney General, I will prosecute those cases, and I will help our local prosecutors when they need it, especially in gang prosecutions, interjurisdictional crimes, and gun trafficking crimes.
Your approach to public safety is not focused on locking more people up. How would you reduce violence while keeping violent offenders off the streets?
It's important to be tough on crime, but it's just as important to be smart on crime. And one of the measures that I helped pass this year was the law that decriminalizes possession of small amounts of marijuana. We can do better by keeping nonviolent offenders outside of our prison system. Folks who aren't a danger to others, aren't a danger to themselves, don't do well when they're locked up. They come out learning to be criminals. So we can divert people who don't belong in jail in the first place and we can do a better job of helping folks who are in prison reenter society when they come out. Almost all of them do, and they're not ready to come back to society. They don't have the skills, they don't have the education, and they fail repeatedly. That's why we have such high recidivism rates.
So what could the Attorney General, or what could you as Attorney General do about that?
Well, a couple of things. One is that the Attorney General has within it the Juvenile Justice Monitor. This is the agency that goes around to our juvenile justice facilities and inspects them, issues reports saying that we're not giving the kids in our charge the education that they need, that they're not getting the appropriate treatment for drug and mental problems that they may have, and that the conditions that they're living in are not up to standard. I will use that agency to leverage change. Unfortunately, too often their reports go in the trash can today, but I'll use the Juvenile Justice Monitor to leverage positive change in our juvenile justice system. Same is true for adult criminals. The Attorney General is a bully pulpit and has the opportunity to help affect change in the way we treat people who are in our prisons, and also in determining who should be put in jail. The idea mandatory minimum sentences have been a real problem nationally and in Maryland. They keep people in jail for longer than they should be, don't give judges the discretion that they need, and the Attorney General can play a role in helping folks who, helping the system, helping the General Assembly sort out who belongs in jail and how to treat them once they're in and once they're out.
I certainly get your concern about how juveniles are, what happens to them once they are in the juvenile justice system. And we've done quite a few interviews with the Juvenile Justice Monitor on different problems identified. But right now, especially in Baltimore right now is quite worried about violence among young people and young people being killed by it. There's really been an outbreak of homicides among young people in Baltimore. That's before they get into the system. What would you do about that as Attorney General?
Well, look, folks who are committing violent crimes do belong in jail, and gun crime has been a scourge in Maryland, and it's been a scourge across the country. People who commit crimes using guns should be locked up. But I think we can prevent people who have committed nonviolent offenses from becoming long-time residents in our prison populations. The Annie E. Casey Foundation, which is the nation's leading think tank on how to handle juvenile services, has exported its ideas all over the country with great success. In Maryland, we don't follow their model as closely as we should. And their idea basically is that most kids who are in trouble belong in community settings, not in prison-like conditions. And I think we should be moving in that direction, not in the locking them up for every little crime that gets committed. Violent crimes, I'm for protecting society, I'm for locking them up. But when they're not committing violent crimes, we need to make sure they're getting another chance, because sooner or later they're coming out.
That's State Senator Brian Frosch here on Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. He is one of three Democrats running for their party's nomination for Attorney General in the June 24th primary. One more criminal justice question. Maryland has abolished the death penalty. You were part of the legislative effort that did that. But there are still four inmates who are on death row. What should be done with their cases?
Well, I think we've made the decision, we've adopted the policy that we're not going to be putting people to death. I think that should apply to them. It's up to the chief executive, the governor, to make that determination, and I'm hoping that's a determination that'll get made.
What separates you from the other Democratic candidates, Delegate Aisha Braveboy and Delegate John Cardin?
It's my experience and my accomplishments. I've been in the private practice of law for more than 35 years. U.S. News and World Report has called me one of the best lawyers in America. I have 28 years in the General Assembly of a series of accomplishments. I'm the author of the Maryland Recycling Act. It's the law that requires everyone to drag those bins out to the curb every week. It results in the recycling of 6 billion pounds of trash in our state every year. I was the author of the law that stopped the oil companies from drilling for oil and gas in the Chesapeake Bay. And as I mentioned before, the one who led the fight to enact our Firearm Safety Act in the General Assembly, I think it's the best in the nation. I've been the sponsor of laws that protect consumers from cheats and frauds and scams, and a leader on Marriage Equality Act and the DREAM Act. I have a series of legislative accomplishments that I think are unmatched by either of my opponents, and a record of experience in the practice of law that is also unmatched by them. The person who is going to be our Attorney General needs to have the experience, the skill, the judgment, and the willingness to show up for work every single day to try to improve the lives of Marylanders.
Well, specifically on the environment, you have a ranking of a 99% score over your years in the General Assembly from the League of Conservation Voters. But one of your opponents, Delegate John Cardin, has a 97 score, which is not probably statistically hugely different, or is it? I mean, what difference is there between how you and Delegate John Cardin would approach the environment issues?
Well, ask the League of Conservation Voters and the Sierra Club, because they've endorsed me. The difference between us is not just our percentages of support. It's that I've taken a leadership role year after year after year on environmental issues. Besides the ones that I've mentioned before, I've sponsored legislation that cracked down on polluters, that increased the fines and penalties for pollution. I was the author of the State Brownfields Act that has resulted in the cleanup of thousands of acres in our state of contaminated industrial sites, and many, many more. I've been named the Legislator of the Year by virtually every environmental group that exists in our state. Member of the U.S. Advisory Committee on the Clean Air Act and the Clean Air Trust and various other organizations. I think my environmental experience achievements are unmatched.
Senator Frosch, we're almost out of time, and there's two things I want to ask you quickly. One is about electricity rates. We're facing probably another hot and humid summer. This past winter, many Marylanders saw drastic rate increases in electricity. The Maryland Public Service Commission told WBAL it registered a 150% increase in complaints this winter. What would you do about rate increases as Attorney General, or what could you do?
I've fought to hold utilities accountable for poor service and for high rates. I sponsored legislation on the Senate floor that increased the fines and penalties for Pepco and BG&E and the other utilities that failed to deliver reliable service. Like many families, my family has suffered through long, dark days of freezing cold without electricity and heat, and long, hot days and nights without air conditioning. As Attorney General, I will do everything within the power of the office to make sure, especially with this merger looming with Exelon and Pepco, to ensure that the appropriate investments are made to make electric service reliable, and that the utilities invest in renewable resources to fuel their power plant.
Senator Frosch, last question. Nathan Stirner told us in the newscast that Maryland still has a foreclosure problem. Maryland ranks second in the nation in the number of foreclosures. What would you as Attorney General do about foreclosures in Maryland?
Let me say, I sponsored the law that outlawed foreclosure scams and frauds in Maryland and led the fight to make our foreclosure process fairer, as give homeowners better notice, more time to catch up and to mediate with their lenders. And as Attorney General, I will enforce those laws. I will make sure that homeowners get a fair shake and an opportunity to get right with their loans.
We have to leave it there. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Thank you.
State Senator Brian Frosch is one of three Democrats running for their party's nomination for Attorney General. We spoke with all three this week. In the general election in the fall, the winner will face Republican Jeffrey Pritzker, a Towson lawyer. He has no primary opposition. One of those candidates will succeed the incumbent, Doug Gansler, who's running for governor.
Thanks for listening to this special podcast from Maryland Morning. Check out our website for more of our 2014 primary election coverage. We're at wypr.org/Maryland Morning.